Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I know some of you may be thinking, wow, we made it into chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be considering verses 1 through 6 this evening. But I will read from verse 24 of chapter 3 for context. Let's go before the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we pray as we come now to consider your word that you would sanctify us by your truth. We pray that your spirit would open our understanding, even as we considered that wonderful work of your spirit this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would be about that work now in us this evening, that we can comprehend what you teach us therein. And Lord, we pray that you would be at work in us, that we can put those things that you command us and practice in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 24. Hear now the word of God that is written for you and for me today. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, I do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. Well, beloved in Christ, over the last couple of weeks, we have been examining the four marks of the children of God as John lays them out in chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. These marks have been communicated through the context of stark contrasts as well as straightforward instruction and commands. The first mark we considered was that of practicing righteousness. The children of God practice righteousness, and the children of the devil do not. The second mark was the practice of loving the brethren. True love should be evident in the life of the Christian, not hate. And as children of God, we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ with a self-sacrificial love, like Christ loved us. We are to be ready to lay down our lives for each other and provide for each other's needs. In verses 19 through 23, John contrasts faith and doubt. Children of God are those who walk by faith, believing in Jesus Christ, keeping his commandments, and having our hearts assured before him. And today we're going to consider the fourth mark of the Christian, that of discerning truth from error. John wrote to people who had been exposed to error and had apparently responded to it appropriately, yet found themselves somewhat discouraged in the process. And therefore, John reminded them to evaluate teachings in verse 1. He then gave them the criteria in how to evaluate teachings in verses 2 and 3. And finally, John reminded them of who they belong to in verses 4 through 6. So let's consider what he says in verse 1. And as we consider this instruction to test the spirits, I think it's important to understand a foundational reality. God has given us the Holy Spirit, who stands in contrast to the many lying spirits that are at work in false teachers and false prophets, all of whom have the mission of spreading opposition to God. And it's good and right for us to pause and to think about of the many things that the Holy Spirit does, how John says that he has been given to us to help us to discern truth from error. And this is what John specifically reminds us about in our text today. Look at verse 1a. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. So note he says, do not believe every spirit. The faithful people of God must be aware of a present danger. What John is telling us is that Christians can be too gullible. We must not follow every teacher or wind of doctrine just because the person teaching it says we should. And though many false teachers left the church, John needed to remind the people that there are more out there. And we must not jump onto a bandwagon because a lot of other people are on that wagon. Remember this, we easily become what we digest. We easily become what we digest. Reality is that we can hear all sorts of teachings today, but we must not believe every teaching. Remember what Jesus said at the conclusion of the parable of the soils in Mark 4:24. He said, "Take heed what you hear." Now, a false teacher, Victoria Olsteen, the wife of Joel Osteen, once in a worship service said this, "When we obey God, we aren't doing it for him. We are doing it for ourselves because God wants us to be happy. We should do good for our own selves. When we come to worship him, we aren't doing it for God. We're doing it for ourselves because God wants us to be happy." And so we can have a quick response to her statement. We could have a response to why is she even in a position of being able to say that in the first place. But her statement provides a good example regarding the question, should we or should we not believe what she said? And there are some who will jump to believe it just because she said it. However, the Apostle John says it's imperative. It's imperative that we don't believe every teaching. But he also tells us what we should do. Test the spirits, whether they are of God. And this testing the spirits, literally test means to try, to examine, to discern, to decide after examination, with the aim to prove what is good. And note, do not believe and test the spirits are both commands. Belief should be held off until examination can occur and you can approve what is good. Let me say that again. Belief should be held off until examination can occur and you can approve what is good. And so how do you examine a teaching to discern its truth or error? We need to be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11 who listen to the Apostle Paul with discerning ears and discerning hearts as they search the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Does the teaching hold water when examined through the lens of Scripture? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:31, "Test all things, hold fast to what is good." and the teachings of God are to be believed. Those that aren't of God are to be rejected. Now, Osteen's statement is plainly contrary to the teachings of Scripture, and how do we know? Well, the Bible says worship is to be God-centered, not man-centered. Hebrews 13:15 says that we are to, quote, offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3 say this, O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. My friends, worship isn't about what makes us happy. We worship God with joyful and thankful hearts, but we have joyful hearts because of his work in us and the great work of Christ and our marveling in all of his works. We worship him the way he says that he wants to be worshiped, with all focus and all glory going to him, not us. And so why do we need to test? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, John says. But notice then, John goes on to give us the important criteria as he further answers the question, how do I discern truth from error? So he gives us this criteria in verses 2 and 3. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, if you recall, this was the focus of the error that caused great division amongst these churches. John was saying the spirit that is true is the spirit that fully affirms Christ's complete, sufficient work of atonement on the cross, demonstrated in the fact that he is fully God and fully man. John here once again distinguishes the gospel from the error of the Docetists, who claimed Jesus wasn't truly human. And yet the humanity of Christ was vitally important if he was to die for our sins. And notice that this isn't just a statement of belief in Jesus, but it is the confession that he came in the flesh. John himself said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the litmus test of whether the teaching is coming from God or not. Anything that undercuts the truth of the person of Christ and his sufficient work is not of God. And indeed, it is of the spirit of Antichrist. They are teachers and teachings that are opposed to Christ. Now, in understanding this, understanding that the presence of love for the brethren it gives us assurance that we belong to God, John goes on to encourage us to remember who we are. And that is at the core, really. And he shows us what is at this core. In verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So, beloved, we have the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We belong to God. And therefore, we have overcome the false teachers in this world, and that we have not succumbed to the tempting notions and the lies of impure spirits. We have remained faithful to the truth, not because of our own strength, not by our own wit, but because of one simple and powerful truth. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. such a wonderful comfort for our often discouraged hearts. Such a wonderful comfort, even when we may feel like we are confused, or we don't know which way is up. But the Spirit brings us back to the Word of God. The Spirit brings us back to the place by which we must evaluate and test these things, by which we must examine these things. And then the Spirit encourages us in the Word by showing us Jesus and by showing us who He is and what He's done and His greatness, indeed His supremacy over all things. And so this wonderful truth that He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world is such a comfort. We have become strong in the grace and power of God. And it is God who has kept us in the faith. He is infinitely greater than any of the spirits of this world. And John says, this is who we are. And now, this is who they are. Verse 5. They are of the world, and therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Beloved, we shouldn't be surprised that those who are of the world speak and act according to who they belong to. We shouldn't be surprised about how they speak and that they are heard by their own. It's true that misery loves company. The lying spirits of this world are attracted to other spirits of this world. They like to stir up together. They like to spin out together. They like to deceive and corrupt together, to draw others into their deception party. But notice then how he turns again in verse 6a. Another contrast. We are of God. They're of the world, but we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. So John and his colleagues here also confirm that they are of God. And those who hear their teaching know God. In other words, there are true teachers and false teachers, those who do hear and those who don't hear. Bad hearers aren't going to hear good teaching until God, by His grace, opens their ears, opens their eyes, gives them a new heart. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Because those of the world don't belong to God, they can't hear the Good Shepherd. But Christ's sheep hear Him and follow Him. And note verse 6b, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So again, John is laying out these contrasts. He's laying out these contrasts to assure the hearts of the people of God, to assure us not only in our salvation, but to point out truth from error, to help us to understand what is an important mark of the Christian, and that is having such discernment. But if we were to wrestle and to wonder, how can I do these things? How can I successfully navigate through this world with all the twists and turns and with all these half-truths that are also half-lies and all of this different stuff that I have to sort through? How can I do this? The Lord gives us here that exact thing. What and how we need to do to navigate as Christians. But also the mark of the Christian in that we have, by the Spirit's work and blessing, such discerning minds and hearts. So how do we discern truth from error? Praise God for the presence and work of the Spirit. Praise Him for His work in and through His Word. And though we must beware of false teachers, walk forward with hope and courage, knowing who is in you. As we are on guard, we know how to proceed. Number one, do not believe everything you hear. Number two, test everything you hear by the word of God. And three, prove and hold fast to what is good. So take comfort, children of God, that he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. The world will listen to their master, but we must hear and listen to the good shepherd and follow him faithfully to the end. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.